and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGiulio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, on a Tuesday morning. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. It's one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We are going to talk with Max Grinnell, who is the urbanologist, and this is the anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. So we're going to talk about the Great Chicago Fire and much more with him coming up a little bit later on. 312-981-7200 is our phone number for talk and text and Two for Tuesday requests. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Nick D Show. So there you go. All right. Well, you know, you hear Bill Withers and you know what that means. It can only mean one thing. Kevin Powell. Kevin Powell is my man. He is does WGN Sports on the Rokan Show. You can follow him on Twitter at kpowell720. And he joins us to talk sports and all things sports related. And here's Kevin. Kevin, how are you, man?
I'm great, but I do have some bad news to report right off the top, Nick. Uh-oh. I apologize.
Okay.
Yeah, our beloved WGN 16-inch softball team fell in the media Chicago-wide softball league championship last night. Nick, we lost to Chicago Reader, so it was a great season and a great run led by Justin Kaufman and many of our other beloved WGN extended family members. So they lost in the championship to Chicago Reader, but it was a good run, Nick. It was a good season.
Chicago Reader, the Chicago Reader beat you?
I'm pretty sure they may have had a few ringers on that team, Nick. I can't confirm that report, but it might have had a few ringers on that team.
That's what I'm thinking.
It was a good time, though.
Okay, well, congratulations on a fun season, then.
That's absolutely. We all went out. There was a handful of us went out to watch the game last night out in Franklin Park. So I wanted to be the first one to report that. But sorry to start the segment on a bad note, Nick. But it was a good season all around.
There we go. All right. Well, let's get into it. How you been, man?
Couldn't be better. No complaints over here, Nick. I'm having a blast, and thank you for having me, as always. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So you do the sports on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis every day, and that's always a lot of fun, yeah?
Oh, it's more than fun. It's my favorite part of every day is between 3 and 7 in the afternoon. So love those guys. We talk about a wide variety of topics and, of course, plenty of sports stuff as well. So end of baseball season, plenty of Bear stuff, and I know you're excited to get the Blackhawks season rolling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun that they went to Prague for the opener. You know, that must have been a really good time. They did lose. But I do want to mention a couple of things about the Hawks. First of all, my main man Marian Hossa visited the Blackhawks in Prague. I miss that man very much.
Yeah,
he's my favorite Hawk, and I've always loved the guy. Talk a little bit about that visit.
Yeah, I thought it was cool to start the season that way. Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Marian Hossa. You can really feel how much the organization appreciates what he did for the team when he played with the Blackhawks. And if you look back at his play, maybe not as flashy as some players, right? But he did just about everything right, and he was such a fun player to watch. And when he did have to walk away from the game because of something we haven't heard a ton of, but for the reason he did with the skin ailment, things really changed pretty quickly. I think you'd agree with that, Nick. Yeah. That it was pretty apparent when Marian Hossa left, the team just looked different. Yeah. And I just thought he was such an all-around great hockey player on both ends of the ice, and he was fun to watch. But yeah, I thought it was cool. You know, I don't think you can discount how much that matters for the long run of a season. Not talking about just the individual game, which, as you said, ended at a loss. We've got to figure that matters, that you went on a week and a half. You're basically going on a trip with your teammates, with your coaches. Everybody's getting to know each other. If you go on a trip with anybody, you're going to get to know them pretty well.
Yeah.
And a lot of the players said that. So I like that they started that way, and I also like how the league scheduled their next few weeks here, where we have seven home games in a row at the United Center. And if you're going to start overseas, I think the league should throw you a little bit of a bone if you're going to show off the brand and those sorts of things overseas. Not that anybody was complaining, but the travel, et cetera. Now they have seven straight games at home where they can kind of settle in and get things organized.
Yeah, no, that's really kind of unheard of to have seven games in a row at home. And it's awesome. It's completely great.
Seven straight at home and eight of the first nine are at home.
Yeah, so. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, you know, it's you're right about Hossa. You know, having when he left the team, it did change the team a lot. He was a big, he was a big part of the team. Big Hoss was my favorite player on the team, and I will never ever one of the greatest games that I've ever seen. Game five, 2010, when Hossa gets out of the is called for the major.
Yep.
gets out of the box, scores the winning goal. It was really truly one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen.
And the way it went down, where everyone was groaning, oh, the host of the new guy, he gets a penalty late in the game, and then he comes out and he scores the goal. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's right. That's why we got Marian Hossa here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Completely agree. He had a great run. And I agree with you. It was good to. And John McDonough, the president of Hawks, of course, had a ton of good things to say about Marian Hossa. I think they really appreciated what he brought to the table. For a lot of different reasons, and the players have always gloated about him, how much they loved and appreciated the way he went about his business. So I like the way that they started the season, and here we go, Nick. We got a shot to see our Hawks up close at the United Center over the next couple weeks here.
Yeah, I was wondering how Gritty enjoyed Prague. I was wondering if Gritty and maybe Gritty went out on the town with Tommy Hawk. Maybe they both went out to.
I wonder. That's a scary thought. Those two out on the streets in the streets of Prague. I don't know how that would go down, but yeah, Gritty, a scary fella, Nick. He scares me. Of all the mascots out there, he scares me a little bit.
He does scare you.
He's got those loose eyes, man. He's got crazy eyes.
He does have crazy eyes, doesn't he? He does. I think the Hawks are gonna. I think the Hawks are gonna have a good season. I'm looking forward to it. What about you?
Yeah, I would be completely surprised if they don't make the playoffs. I think that's completely reasonable expectations that it should be a playoff-type team. Now, the division they're in's got some really tough teams in it between Nashville and St. Louis, of course. So they're going to play some tough teams. But they showed enough down the stretch, and I don't think we should completely dismiss the fact that Jeremy Colleton had a full offseason with this team.
Yeah.
I mean, Q was the opening day coach last year.
Yeah.
And think of how quickly things changed. And look, this is nothing against the players. If you're somewhere for a certain amount of time, for as long as Q was, and you had the amount of success you did, and whether you agree or disagree that the Hawks should have or should not have gotten rid of Q, if you're the players who have been there, of course there's going to be some sort of adjustment.
Sure.
And not even being stubborn against the new guy. It's just, I mean, come on, they won three cups with Q. Those were guys, but they were his guys for a decade.
Yeah.
So there's going to be an adjustment, not necessarily even rejecting Colleton, but figuring out what his message is and then applying it to their game. So we obviously saw that a little bit with the Hawks, but I think everybody understands the type of style Colleton likes to play, which is the up-tempo stuff.
Yeah.
Press the puck. And down the stretch of the season, They came out from one of the worst teams in hockey record wise to all of a sudden there was a few weeks there, Nick, where they were knocking on the door of a postseason berth. There was enough to give you hope. There were enough changes this offseason. I think they shored stuff up at goaltender with Corey Crawford having some health trouble over the past few years. You bring in Lehner, that kind of gives you a little bit of a security blanket, and maybe it takes a little pressure off of Crawford as well. So I thought there was enough done this offseason. You factor in that it's Colleton's first offseason. He's your day one coach. Everything factored in, I think there's plenty of reason to be optimistic if you're a Blackhawks fan.
Yeah, I'm with you too, man. I totally agree. I'm looking forward to the next game. Next game is against San Jose. and it's this Thursday, and it's part of a 7-game homestand, which is really crazy. Yeah. Really crazy. Yeah. And it'll be right here on WGN, obviously, at 7:30.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and shameless plug, the Rokan Show will be live at the United Center leading up, a little extended pregame, and we'll do our thing. But we do that about once a month throughout the season. We post up at the Goose Island Pub. I believe that's section 107 and 108. So shameless plug, but if you're coming out, we'll be there.
Yeah, no, you got to be. You want some people out there. It's fun to do remotes from the UC, man.
Oh, it's a ton of fun. The Blackhawks, look, I say this all the time, and this is no sucking up or anything like that. They are a class act organization, top to bottom. And selfishly, they spoil us quite a bit out there, Nick. So
yeah.
I have a ton of fun going out to Hawks games and seeing the whole organization and seeing fans and all that. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you're right. You know, we've been singing the praises of that organization for all these years we've been associated, you know, with since we've been playing the Hawks games here on the on the station, gotten to know the organization, and they know how to run it, man. They know how to run it. It's a class act. And by the way, that Jumbotron is about the size of a house.
Oh my God, I'm glad you brought that up. I went to the media tour of it a few days back, and it's almost overwhelming.
It's
so impressive. It's, you know, because it's all these different displays. And if you look at it when it's just in your traditional kind of boxy scoreboard, it looks like, okay, that's a nice big old scoreboard. And then it starts moving, and it's like you're waiting for legs to pop out of the thing and start to walk out of the United Center. It's unbelievable.
It really is.
So cool. And every year they add something unique to the United Center, and that's it this year. If you go to the Hawks or even Bulls, you're going to be blown away by it.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, Kevin, hang on, okay, man?
All right, you got it.
All right, buddy. Kevin Powell is with us. He does sports on the Rokan Show right here on WGN, and you can hear him every weekday afternoon between 3 and 7 as part of the Rokan Show with Hannah DeBlantes. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back, talk more sports with Kevin Powell right here on 720 WGN.
It won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Bill Withers means Kevin Powell. And he joins us to talk sports. We're here on a Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. And let's get back into the conversation with Kevin Powell. Kevin, welcome back, man.
Bill Withers always puts a smile on my face, so it's always great hearing that, Nick. Thank you for having me.
Of course, man. So the Blackhawks were in Prague, the Bears were in London, and the Bears did not win this past Sunday, and the ratings were at an all time low for the Bears.
Yeah, it was a frustrating game for the Bears, where there was a lot of conversation about, when do you go to London? How long does it take to adjust and all those sorts of things? And for a lot of people who were screaming at the Bears to go earlier, you know, they had enough fuel to continue that argument after the first half, when they just looked so bad in all aspects of the game, Nick, and particularly at the offensive and defensive line. The line of scrimmage was completely owned by the Oakland Raiders in that game. They looked unprepared. John Gruden, the character he is, he really won the day. He game-planned perfectly for Khalil Mack and for the Bears and for that ferocious defense. And the Bears were getting blown up. They gave up over 150 yards on the ground, which is basically unheard of for this defense over the past couple of years, which has been by far the best rushing defense in the NFL. It was frustrating that the game they should have won. It reminded me of the game from last year in Miami, when there were some outside excuses as well. I shouldn't even say excuses. There were some outside factors that people were talking about after the game, the excessive heat they had in Miami. They played horrible, but they still somehow found a way to come close to winning that game. It really felt similar. That was actually a Week 5 matchup as well. So, look, they're 3-2. That's what they were last year. The difference between this year and last year is, one, they have a target on their back, and two, the schedule does not let up at all. They have the toughest schedule in all of football. They've got to get better. We'll see if Mitch Trubisky's ready for the Saints in a couple weeks, but they enter their bye. It was a letdown. And this division, the NFC North, is looking like it might be the best division in all of football. So to squander an opportunity there to beat a Raiders team, which is looking like it might be pretty good, is frustrating. Still very much in it. Still a long season to go, but that's one you got to have. You got to be 4-1 in that situation.
Yeah, you do. Nagy seemed a little angry.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
I think he's angry and he's frustrated. I don't know if angry is the right word because he is Mr. Positive.
Yeah.
But I think there is some frustration. When all offseason we were talking about how good this offense can be, they're going to make some strides. It's in the second season under Matt Nagy. Mitch Trubisky's entering his third year, his second season with Matt Nagy. There's a ton of weapons on offense. And the offensive line has been really bad. They've been horrible on first and second down, so you create third and long situations, which gives the defense all the upside in that scenario. And things just aren't clicking. And everything we saw from Matt Nagy last year, where there's this innovation on the offensive side of the ball, you know, it's a centennial year, Nick, and I've been saying this,
right,
that it's been 100 years of Chicago Bears football. And it's sort of been a perfect start to this season, kind of mirroring the 100 years of Chicago Bears football, which is outstanding defense and horrible offense. haven't we seen that storyline played out about a million times?
Absolutely.
In Chicago,
yeah,
with the Bears? Every great team, they've had a great defense, but they haven't had a great offense. And it finally felt like they were on the verge of being this modern-day team with an offense that can win you the game and not just have to manage the football. And that just hasn't been the case this year. And it starts with the offensive line. We might see some changes there over the next couple of weeks as they have this bye, and then they have the Saints a couple Sundays from now.
Yeah, the Saints, and that's at home, right?
Yeah, that'll be at home. The next two are at home.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There you go. All right. Hey, Cody Parkey, returning to the NFL. Is that going to happen?
Return of the park. He's back. The Titans. Cairo Santos, who was actually given a shot with the Bears last year in the leading up to the season, he didn't work out. He missed, I believe it was 3 field goals for the Titans this past Sunday. And they're going to give it a whirl with Parkey. I mean, look, good for Cody Parkey. I wish him all the best. But to see that name pop up, I didn't think he would kick again. But I guess there's just not enough kickers to go around, and teams get desperate. And, hey, give him a shot.
Yeah.
Good luck, Cody Parkey.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens.
We will. Good luck to Parkey and the Titans. We'll see.
Little double doink. Right there.
A little double dike. Nightmare fuel is what I refer to it as, Nick. Nightmare fuel. That's scarier than any movie you've ever seen, Nick.
Yeah.
Is that double doink, that sound. Roe always plays that every afternoon when I mention Parkey or kicking or anything.
The
double doink, and it is frightening.
Yeah,
it is frightening.
It is. Let's talk a little Cubs. What about the who do we think is going to be their manager, and who would be good?
I think David Ross makes sense. I know some people may be skeptical about he's never managed before, but we've seen that trend in baseball where, like, Aaron Boone and the Yankees, there's a handful of examples of guys getting opportunities who hadn't managed before, where you look at baseball, the front office is really making, with the amount of numbers and all that goes into a game plan for a baseball game these days, the front office very much has a large stake in the way a game is managed. So I think a big part of hiring managers these days is, yes, you have to know the ins and outs of a game. You have to know the X's and O's and strategic plays and things like that. But I think a big part of it is connecting with the players and culture. And look, Joe Maddon was a perfect blend of both, where he was kind of old school, but he also embraced the younger generation of players, and he wasn't afraid of change. And David Ross is kind of the guy they need, where, look, the Cubs had the most outs on the base paths in all of baseball. They had some of the most errors in all of baseball. That's just not what we came to expect from the Cubs over the past few years. And they got, in 2016, yes, he was Grandpa Rossi, who was this lovable guy. It was a great story. But David Ross was the guy that would go after his teammates if they did those sort of the fundamentals of baseball, if they didn't do them right. So they all loved him. He was embraced in the clubhouse, but he was also another sort of coach, as many catchers are. To me, it seems like the obvious choice. I think David Ross would make sense for the Cubs.
I think, you know, and also obviously there's talk about Joe Girardi as well, who's got a history, yeah. who's got a history with the Cubs and more experience. And I think he would be a nice fit too, actually.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, in baseball, the manager probably takes too much blame when it's not warranted. Maybe they get a little bit too much credit when there is success. It comes down to the players performing, and to me, that's a bigger question mark. Yeah, of course, manager is big, but what sort of changes are we going to see from Theo Epstein? This is a core of young guys who won a World Series at such a young age. How willing is Theo Epstein? How okay is he with dealing away some of these players? Will he make some dramatic move of trading one of them away? So that's another. Once that managerial spot is filled, I'm really interested to see what sort of moves Theo Epstein makes this offseason.
Yeah. And then speaking of moves, what do you think the Sox are going to do in the offseason here?
Probably spend more than they ever have in free agency.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players out there that make a whole ton of sense for the White Sox, whether it's a big-time starting pitcher. They definitely need a right fielder. They're going to spend some cash this offseason. They were willing to spend around $300 million with Manny Machado last offseason. That's a sign that they're willing to spend money, and this is the perfect time for the White Sox to spend money in this rebuild when you saw these younger players make progress throughout the season. This is kind of that turning point. We add some free agent pieces and really turn some heads around baseball.
You know, there's a pretty positive buzz around the team. They had 10 more wins than they did last season. You know, it was they were pretty fun team to watch this past season.
They were. I mean, Tim Anderson won the batting title. Yeah. We haven't seen that since 1997. Frank Thomas did it. Yoan Moncada had a great year. Eloy Jimenez had 31 homers. So there was a lot of things to look at. Lucas Giolito, look at the season he had.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the individual growth gives you optimism for 2020 White Sox.
Yeah. All right. And you can hear it all right here on WGN. There it is. Kevin, always a pleasure, my man.
Hey, is Joker, did you do a Joker review yet? Because I'm dying to see it.
Yeah, I did. And it's terrible.
Okay.
I hated it.
Really? Yeah. No.
Yeah. Well, no, I hated it.
Okay. Now I'm gonna go listen back to your review.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed because I'm dying to see it.
Yeah. There are people who love it, though. I got to say, it's almost split right down the middle. Either people love it or they hate it. I'm on the hate side.
See, I'm interested because I'm not very comic book. I'm not into, like, the Marvels and all that. So, to me, that's what intrigues me, where it doesn't necessarily feel like a comic book movie,
right.
But more of a character study type situation. But,
yeah.
All right, well, I'll see it. And maybe next time I get on, we'll talk about it.
We can talk about it. All right, Kevin, thanks, man. And everybody can listen to you doing the sports on the Rokan Show every weekday afternoon right here on WGN. Thanks, Kev.
You're the best, Nick. Appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy. Take care. Kevin Powell, always a blast to talk sports with Kevin. And we'll do it again soon, right here on 720 WGN. Okay, we got a break for the news right here on WGN.